My eyes shot open as I realized I was still resting near Steel Jack's grave. It was a little cold, but the sun was quickly peeking out from behind the clouds. I thought about the last question I'd asked Twilight. Her nephew was Stargazer. That name ringed all sorts of bells. He was the one who'd designed my weapon. No wonder she had known so much about it. She'd asked her own nephew to build it. My eyes drifted to the now inert firearm. It had yet to come back online after I'd tried to use the charge to power it. I wondered if I'd broken it. My eyes forced open even wider. The chart. I'd completely forgotten about the second piece. I turned my eyes back towards the gravestone. It was understandable why, but even Steeljack would have agreed that I needed to keep moving forward. As much as my heart ached, as much as I wished he was still here, he wasn't here, and I was going to have to accept that. There was no magic spell, no cure. Nothing other than our memories of him that could keep him alive. Opening my saddlebags, I lifted out the star crystal and the chart I'd collected from the dragon's cave. Focusing my magic on both, I felt the surge of energy rush up between them as they began to merge. The star crystal changed again, gaining a few more points around it. It shimmered in the darkness as its light shot up into the sky once more. I knew this part. I stood, the light covering everything as far as the eye could see. It flickered, changing again. The Everfree Forest of old sat in all its splendor before me. In the distance, I could see a castle, in my time, and place a cathedral. Even during whatever time this crystal was showing me, the castle was in ruins. Then the crystal flickered again, returning me to the wastelands that was my home. Picking up speed and intensity, the star crystal strobed this time, sending a pulsing beam of energy out into the forest. The final piece of the chart was located downwards and deeper. I couldn't quite see what it was pointing to, just the edge of several ruined structures. I narrowed my gaze as the beam dissipated. I knew that just like before, I'd been the only one to see the light. It was light in my mind, not in the real world.
"Just what is this thing?" I thought. "Twilight claimed it was a power source, but it's unlike nothing I've ever seen before. The power pulsing through it is insane."
I pocketed the star crystal, pushing myself up into a standing position. The others didn't appear to be awake yet, although I didn't see where Violet was laying. I tiptoed over, checking on Patch. She and Lilith had fallen asleep next to each other, the black mare extending a wing over to help keep the Earth Pony warm. Patch herself didn't look good. I wondered how much more radiation she had accrued in the Dragon Cave. Dr. Rott had been off by a wide margin. Patch's folds were coming, and they would be here a lot sooner than any of us could have believed. Was it some side effect of the radiation? Or something else? "Star?" I heard a voice whisper. I turned to see Violet. She was standing at the far edge of the clearing, Thunderflash hanging off of its harness. I made my way across our camp, coming to rest next to her.
"Sorry, I kind of fell asleep,"
I said softly. Violet smiled.
"We noticed. We've been taking turns keeping watch. It's been my turn for a few hours," she said. "Thankfully, there's been no issues."
"Good,"
I said, trotting past her to glance over the gravestone again.
"Hard to believe."
"It is," Violet simply replied. "It's only been a few months, I know, but it feels like I knew him for, well, forever."
"Violet,"
I said, drawing her attention.
"Patch isn't looking so good. I'm worried that her folds might come sooner than we can get back to Ponyville."
My love nodded thoughtfully.
"It's certainly possible. I looked over her last night and she seems healthy enough," she said. "She's handling this far better than everyone else is, than even I am." "Patch is a lot stronger than anyone gives her credit for," I replied. "I suspect, however, she's bottling that pain inside. She's going to self-implode before too long if she keeps it up."
Violet grimaced.
"We're never going to forget him, are we?" she said.
"Never,"
I said.
"He helped us get away. He saved Patch. He was a hero."
I sighed heavily.
"And for a moment there, I thought about the possibility of bringing him back to life."
"You what?"
Violet asked, her eyes wide. I nodded.
It's not possible, though. Steeljack, he would have moved on. He wouldn't have stuck around in spirit form,"
I said.
Like Lucky.
Violet scowled.
But Lucky is merged with Spark, she said. But if I can separate her, maybe I could fix that mistake. Twilight might be able to help with that,
I said, staring off the side of the cliff into the drab forest.
Maybe I can give her a second chance.
Well, okay, Violet said. Just be careful, Star. You know how much I hate this whole Twilight business. I nodded.
Speaking of, did you find out where the next chart pieces is at? You said there was one more to get?
It's somewhere in the forest, I said. Some ruins out there. It'll have to wait. Getting Patch back to Ponyville safely should be our top priority. Plus, we're all going to need to stock up on food and medical supplies.
Flapping wings caught my ears, perking them forward to listen better.
Violet, you hear that?
Yeah, Violet said.
What is...
Well now, I was told you were all sorts of tough so-called ministry mare.
A voice from above called, loud enough to wake the rest of my friends from the clearing behind us. My eyes shot to the sky, blood red as they were, and focused on the mare that had spoken. It was a light blue alicorn hovering in mid-air over the forest. A red glowing gem sat in her chest, and her mane and tail were chromatic in nature. A wicked little smirk graced her sharp face.
Let's play a little game, shall we?
She crowed.
Who are you?
My voice rang out across a mountain clearing. My tone was very throaty, thanks to the amount of crying I had been doing. The others were still, watching intently. I was angry. Angrier than I'd ever been in my entire life. I had just buried a close friend, and now one of these things showed up? It wasn't right. The cyan alicorn hovered impassively in the air.
Isn't it obvious? I'm loyalty, otherwise known as obsession,
she said, her pale eyes gleaming. It was an element, of course. Loyalty. Rainbow Dash. If this golem thing was anything like its spirit bearer, we were all well and truly fucked. I kept thinking, trying to figure out why only one of those things kept showing up at a time. Maybe Spark needed the others to keep searching for the remaining chart fragment. I shuddered to think of what would happen if the other three elements just suddenly showed up out of nowhere. We wouldn't survive.
Fuck off,
I retorted angrily. Obsession's mouth turned into a coy grin.
Such language, she said. You really are something, you know that? Putting down this seat like that takes some skill. I'm almost impressed.
I don't care, I said.
Leave me alone. Go run and tell Spark I'm through playing her sick little games and that I'm coming for her. As soon as I have the last part of the chart, I'll be paying her a nice little visit.
No can do. And for the record, I'm here because I wanted to see what you had that took down this seat.
Obsession replied, yawning.
I couldn't give two shits about what Spark is up to.
I thought you represented loyalty, Violet managed to say.
Obsession chuckled.
Loyalty? I'm loyal, all right. Loyal to only one thing, myself,
she said, her expression darkening as she narrowed her gaze at me.
Now then, from where I'm sitting, I'm not seeing anything absolutely special. So, how about a game?
Fuck your games, I snarled. Come here and let's get this over with.
Violet looked at me, grimacing.
Star,
she said cautiously. I lifted a hoof, waving her off.
Don't worry, you guys stay here, I'll be done shortly, I said, lifting into the air with a flap of my wings.
Obsession grinned.
Excellent, she said. The rules are simple, you, me, and a flight race.
I nearly reached out and strangled her or shot her, but after remembering that Stargazer was out of commission, I knew the latter wasn't an option. I had just lost some pony close to me and this bitch wanted to challenge me to a fucking race? I growled under my breath.
Or I could just skip the race and kill you now, I said flatly.
Obsession looked amused.
You're forgetting the best part, she said. If you win, I'll tell you all you want to know about Spark. I'm sure you want to know what she's up to, right?
I grimaced. She had me there. I needed to understand Spark and how I could save her without using the sealing spell that Twilight created. If Obsession knew anything about Spark, it was worth finding out.
Besides, playing along might get you close enough to cast the memory spell in the first place,
I thought.
I finally nodded, slipping my gear off and floating it towards the ground where Violet caught it in her magic. I gave her a slight nod as well, indicating that I'd be okay.
All right, I said. We'll do this your way.
Good, the rules are quite simple. You just need to beat me over to that other mountain range and back,
Obsession said, pointing at the second mountain peak further up the range. I blinked. It had to be over a mile away at least.
When do we start?
I snorted. Obsession responded by flaring her horn, summoning into existence a single stoplight. I rolled my eyes.
Seriously?
The bulb flared to life, a bright red against the early morning sky.
Starting positions?
Obsession said wearily, hovering up higher into the air, level with the light. I did the same, forming a second lane next to the other alicorn. The light changed to a brighter amber. I narrowed my gaze at it. 5 seconds had passed before it turned green. I shot forward, flapping my wings as hard as I could. I looked to my side briefly, seeing nothing but sky. Obsession was nowhere near me or even in front of me. I was winning. I had to be. Then it hit me. Literally. Obsession slammed into my side, stabbing her horn into the plentiful flesh of my thigh. I howled in pain, nearly dropping from the sky right there. I flapped my wings hard, pushing away from the cyan mare, sending a blast of telekinesis at her. She moved deftly out of my reach, cycling back around for another pass. I growled.
So that's what kind of race this is,
I thought.
One without rules.
I kept moving forward, keeping the blue mare in my peripheral vision as she curved through the sky at me. I put up my alicorn shield, hoping that it would do something against the other alicorn, but it didn't help at all. Obsession struck with the force of a sky wagon slamming into the ground, sending me flying through the air as my shield shattered. I tried to catch an updraft with my wings. I spun about, spreading my wings as the other mare reached me. She wrapped her forelegs around my neck, grinning widely.
Did I forget to mention one teensy-weensy little thing?
She said as she pushed down, causing the wind to rush up around us.
I'm going to break your little body into tiny pieces and send you to Spark in a bag.
Fuck you,
I replied, gritting my teeth. I flared my horn, firing another telekinetic blast right into the mare's face. It ripped her away and I spun back upright, flapping my wings until I was stable. A multicolored blur shot past me and I felt pain searing from my flank. I glanced back to see blood streaming from 3 perfect cuts along my hindquarters. I turned back to see Obsession flying down at me from above, her wings folded for maximum speed. I banked to the left, spinning into a roll to hopefully get away from her. She dove right past me, spreading her wings and pulling up to hover just above me.
Well, you're better than I thought you'd be, Ministry Mare, she called out. But you're still not fast enough to beat me.
I hated to say it, but she was right about that. I wasn't a fast flyer by any means, and I had no doubt that Obsession could have flown back and forth 20 times between the 2 mountain peaks in the time it would take me to make one trip. She was toying with me, like a star spider playing with its food. I had fallen right into her trap and let her pull me into her environment, her playground. Without Stargazer, I wasn't even sure how I'd destroy the gem in her chest in the first place.
You're fast, I replied. Maybe if I keep her talking long enough, I'll have some time to think to work something out,
I thought.
You said you don't care about Spark, only yourself. Why help her then? Why not help yourself?
Obsession sneered at me.
Helping Spark will help me, naturally, she said. Perfect world and all that. Once we're in control, everything will be just awesome. You ponies, you're so pathetic. You say you want harmony, but your actions speak so differently. You kill, you lie, you steal. What are you loyal to?
I growled under my breath. I was getting entirely sick of the rhetoric that these things kept spewing.
I'm loyal to my friends, I barked. My love, the ponies who can't fend for themselves, and I will not let some tyrannical phantasm like you decide what's best for them.
I flared my wings and flapped them hard, propelling myself at the chromatic mare. My horn ignited, sending a blast of telekinesis at her. Obsession lifted a wing, her own horn glowing as she batted away the blast. Her eyes widened as I collided with her, the force of the blow sending her spiraling backwards. I latched onto her with my forehoofs, putting my weight into everything I had. For once in my life, I was glad I had some weight to use to my advantage.
I pushed down, using my telekinesis to hold back Obsession's wings, sending us both into the next best thing to freefall. The wind whipped us back and forth while she struggled to break free. I tried my best to get close enough to her horn to cast the memory spell, but every time I thought I had it, the wind knocked my head back. Obsession snarled, setting her own horn alight. Nothing happened, and I had to wonder what it was that she had done. The sound of thunder told me all I needed to know. I pushed off of her to avoid the lightning bolt I knew was coming, and it struck the gem in her chest squarely. The smell of ozone filled the air as she hovered, smiling lazily at me.
"Impressive, Ministry Mare. I didn't think you had it in you to try and pull something like that off," she said. "But let me show you how it's done, all right? This is how a real aerial fighter does things."
Her wings buzzed and her horn ignited once more. The sky around us grew dark and drab as magical dark clouds popped into existence. Obsession grinned, kicking out at one of them, sending jolts of lightning through the air at me. I flapped hard, moving out of the way as they passed, feeling the static and the sheer surge of power the bolts had exuded. The lightning circled about the two of us, connecting to the dark clouds and creating a structure akin to a giant cage surrounding us. The air crackled and popped as I hovered there. I was trapped, no two ways about it. I heard shouting from below me. Lilith had flown up to try and help. Given that she was the only flyer, I almost expected it. The bitch was whining loudly, its barrel pointed at the cyan alicorn. Obsession grinned widely.
"Seems like you've gotta let your friends do your dirty work for you, don't you? Pitiful," she said. "Too bad, really. You get to watch her die."
She kicked out, slamming her hoofs into one of the clouds, sending a massive bolt out of it that soared through the air at Lilith. My eyes widened.
"No, I'm not going to lose another friend,"
I thought frantically, searching for an answer. If Lilith fired now, she'd blow herself to bits. I flared my horn, weaving the magic into what I'd hoped would be a combination spell. I let the spell cast, dropping into the teleport and reappearing in front of Lilith. Immediately a purple bubble appeared around me, taking the full brunt of the lightning bolt strike. I pushed back, sending the bolt wide away from me. I lifted a hoof to signal. Lilith took my cue as she sought around the side of my bubble, releasing the bitch's furious vengeance. The missile shot through the sky, cutting through the clouds like butter. Obsession didn't even move. I wondered what trick she had up her sleeve. Just as the projectile reached her, she ignited her horn and swatted at it with her wing. It exploded, engulfing her in its flames.
"Woohoo!" Lilith shouted. "Star, are you all right?"
I nodded shakily.
"Lilith, be careful, she's not..."
I started to say before a multicolored blur shot out from the center of the explosion. Obsession landed a brutal hoof strike on Lilith's chest, sending the black mare soaring back towards the earth below.
"Lilith!"
I turned on the spot, flapping my wings hard and fast to catch up with my falling friend. I locked my wings to my sides, my speed increasing to that of a rocket. I was not going to let another friend die. Lilith just had to be okay. I reached out, grabbing onto the black mare with my forelegs, flaring my wings to slow my descent. Lilith shifted in my grasp, groaning loudly. A buzzing sound came from above us, catching my immediate attention. I blinked, casting my shield spell on instinct. A blast of lightning struck the shield, ricocheting away. Just because I was trying to save my friend didn't mean that Obsession was done with me. She was only just starting.
"Star?"
Lilith struggled to say as her eyes opened and she glanced up at me. I looked down, a grimace forming on my face.
"I'm gonna have to put you down along the mountain range," I said. "I can't protect you and fight her at the same time."
Lilith scowled.
"You can let me off," she said. "I can fly, just had the wind knocked out of me."
I nodded, allowing the Pegasus to extricate herself from my grasp. Her wings spread open and she caught the updraft next to me.
"What do we do?" "We don't do anything. Lilith, you need to get back to the others," I said. "She's not going to wait for very long." "But Star,"
Lilith started to reply. I shook my head firmly.
"No, I need to do this on my own. There's one thing you can do for me, though,"
I said, causing her ears to perk up. I grinned.
"Get me Stargazer. I don't know that I can get it to work, but it's my best shot."
Lilith nodded and took off like a rocket. I saw the blur go after her as soon as she left my sight. I roared, reaching out with the shield barrier that Obsession bounced off of, spiraling through the air in a rainbow blaze. She glared at me as Lilith continued to make progress back towards the mountains.
Hey, you and I have some unresolved business, remember?
I grinned, flapping my wings and heading back up higher into the sky. I called on my Elecon shield as I climbed, hoping it would deter the other Elecon from attacking. Obsession chased after me, making strafing feints that barely grazed my barrier. The plan was working. I just had to wait for Lilith to show up with Stargazer. I hit my peak and curved downwards, pulling into a dive that took me closer to the mountain range. All I had to do was keep moving. Keep moving and I could end this. I circled around, leading Obsession on the wildest of goose chases I could think of. All the while she kept harassing me, saying nothing.
What's the matter, Timberwolf got your tongue?
I called as I glanced back. Suddenly, my shield flickered out of existence. I faced forward, groaning as I realized I'd fallen for her trap once more. I'd flown right into the bank of storm clouds. The whole time she'd been on my outside because she was steering me into an obvious trap. Obsession sneered as she closed in on me, reaching her hoof out to strike. A gleaming blue missile shot up into the sky, slamming hard into the other Elecon's head. It knocked her back slightly as I realized what it was.
Stargazer,
I thought, grinning as I looked down. Lilith saluted and I caught it with my magic. I could still feel that the weapon was inert. There had to be a way to jumpstart it.
What if I try the crystal again? It's got more pieces now,
I thought frantically. It was the only thing left to try. Reaching into my pocket, I pulled out the star crystal and slammed it into the receptacle on the gun. The weapon began to hum loudly as my EFS began to scroll several messages.
Power core accepted. Power compatibility module loaded. Okay. Stargazer system booting. Star OS. Version 1.13. Ponix compliant. Waiting. Waiting. Stargazer firing system now activated. Have a nice day.
I blinked, feeling the power was in the weapon. It was ready to go. This changed the whole complexion of the day. Obsession snarled, recovering from her blow in mere seconds. She buzzed her wings fast, knocking several bolts of lightning out of the clouds at me. I turned and fired. What came out of the weapon was not bullets. It was more akin to a blast of laser fire. Stargazer spat pure and unadulterated hell from its barrels, the bluish beams connecting with the bolts of lightning and dissipating them instantly. They continued forward, slamming into Obsession. The cyan Elecon howled as she flailed away from the lash of the beams. I whooped a cry of delight. This thing was awesome now.
Looks like I've got the upper hoof now, I called out. Give up yet?
Just because you've got some pretty new toy doesn't mean I'm giving up,
Obsession snarled. Her horn flared, sending two massive bolts of lightning at me. I threw up my Elecon shield and moved to the side, bringing up ESATS. The spell came up just like it usually did, allowing me to queue up shots at the other mare. I let the spell drop, sending every shot I could at Obsession. Beams of blue light poured forth from Stargazer's barrels, searing across the sky at the cyan Elecon. She moved quickly, dodging most of my shots but catching one in her left wing. She roared in pain as the shot pierced it, sending her spiraling downwards. This was my chance. I dismissed my Elecon shield and held Stargazer to my chest, snapping my wings into a dive to follow Obsession. She was flapping her own wing, trying to stay aloft as I caught up with her. I grabbed onto her neck with my forehoofs. I had to force her to the ground. If I could get her grounded, I could cast the memory spell properly. I didn't quite know what would happen if I cast it in mid-air, and quite frankly, I didn't want to know. I pushed down the cyan mare, putting all my weight onto her.
Get off me!
Obsession roared, shifting her weight to try and throw me off. I retaliated, reaching out with my telekinesis to pin her one working wing. I grinned as I wrestled my hind legs around hers, holding the Elecon in place. Her eyes widened.
What are you, fucking crazy? At the speed we're going, you won't survive the fall! I might not even survive the fall!
I know,
I called out through the whipping wind. My mane was being thrown all about, making it difficult to speak.
That's why I need to be on top.
Obsession's eyes widened again, the realization of what I was doing setting in. If I kept my hold on her, she wouldn't be able to use her speed against me.
True, I might not survive the crash, but I was banking on the golem's physical integrity to protect me. All I had to do was keep Obsession facing down, which, thanks to my telekinesis, wasn't an issue. The ground rushed up at us at alarming speeds. We were no longer diving, we were falling. Obsession howled all the way down, trying to struggle out of my grip. I held firm, reaching forward with my horn. There was no way to know if this would work or not, but I had to try. 50 feet, 30 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet. I pushed forward, casting the memory spell and touching my horn to Obsession's own. The world fell away into nothingness as we hit the ground. I blinked. The memory spell had worked. It must have. I was in a memory instead of broken into pieces on the ground. I was sitting in an office next to the one and only Rainbow Dash. I nearly whooped for joy. Violet had told me the memory spell had created some sort of shield around us when I did it to Deceit. I had risked everything on doing it the same here. Now all I had to do was to wait for loyalty to show up. I glanced over at Rainbow Dash. She was poring over papers on her desk, designs and plans for large tower-like structures. I blinked again. I'd seen those towers before, all around the wasteland. I never really knew what they were for, only that they did something with the weather. There was a knock on the door. Rainbow Dash looked up from her work.
"Come in," she said.
The door creaked open, revealing a dark gray Pegasus stallion with a slicked-back silver mohawk. On his side, he carried a very familiar weapon. Thunderflash hung loosely from a battle saddle the Pegasus wore. Rainbow's face brightened slightly at the sight of him.
"Thunderdane, what a pleasant surprise."
"I'm sorry for dropping in unannounced," the other Pegasus said, trotting up to the chair in front of the Ministry Mayor's desk. He slid in easily as Dash regarded him carefully.
"You're not here for a social call, I take it," she said coolly.
Thunderdane grimaced but nodded.
"It's Cloudsdale. They're reluctant to provide any more Pegasus power to fund the war effort," he said. "They're worried that lack of Pegasi will affect Equestria's weather." Rainbow smiled softly, gesturing to the papers on her desk.
"See these?"
she said.
"This will solve this entire problem, Thunderdane."
The gray stallion looked at the papers, his face screwing up in confusion.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"It's a system for controlling the weather," Rainbow replied. "Think of it as a network of systems that will regulate Equestria's weather. I've got a meeting with the Princess and Applebloom later today to discuss the building of it."
"Regulate the weather?"
Thunderdane said.
"How?"
"By using a single Pegasus to power the whole thing," Rainbow said.
Thunderdane cocked his head, causing Rainbow to roll her eyes.
"By using the power of a Crusader mainframe, thanks to Applebloom, a single pony can jack herself into the whole network and regulate all of Equestria's weather. We'll be able to commit the Pegasi fully to the war and end it for good."
But that's insane, Dash. Cloudsdale, you know they won't go for it,"
Thunderdane said.
"It'll render hundreds upon hundreds of Pegasi all over Equestria without a job."
Dash rolled her eyes.
"Don't think I haven't thought of that, Thunderdane. But this war, it needs to be won. The Zebra don't have the air support we do. The Pegasi will win the war. It's in our blood," she said defiantly. "In fact, I'd like for you to be our test candidate for the entire program."
"Me?" Thunderdane replied. "Why me?"
"Because I know you want to see this war ended just as much as I do," she said. "You haven't forgotten Rumble, have you?"
Thunderdane growled under his breath.
"Rotten, dirty zebra scum," he hissed. "I'll never forget what they did to him."
"Good," Rainbow said. "You think you got what it takes? You'd be single-hoofedly responsible for helping to end the war. Imagine the glory of that, Thunderdane. Your loyalty to your country will save us all."
Thunderdane nodded as the memory slowed to a crawl. I glanced over to see a cyan alicorn sitting impassively in the corner. She appeared to be crying. I grimaced.
"Are you all right?"
I said softly. The alicorn glanced at me, her jeweled eyes shining in the low light of the office.
"I had forgotten just how much she meant to me,"
she replied, her hoof regarding the still form of Rainbow Dash.
"She was the strong one, not me. You gave in to the others, compromised what made you, well, you," I said.
"What is loyalty, really?"
the Cyan Mare said.
I wish I knew. I gave up my values of that when I saw how ponies treated each other. How my bearer, how she treated the other bearers. You have a chance to stop this loyalty, I said, stepping closer to her. You can help me defeat Spark. You know that not all ponies are like that. There's a new bearer out there waiting for your guidance, for your spirit to help them show the wasteland what loyalty is truly about. And what is loyalty truly about, Ministry Mare?
Loyalty asked. I grinned.
Loyalty is about staying true to yourself, to being there for others no matter what. It's about being loyal to the concepts of honesty, of kindness, of generosity. Hell, it's even being loyal to laughter. It's about being there for those you care about and never ever give up, I said. Something I know you could never do. Just like Rainbow, you'd never give up.
Loyalty sat there for several moments, contemplating my words. She sighed.
You know as well as I do that I can't help you, she said. I can disperse my spirit so you can defeat my mortal form, but you know that I can't fully be destroyed. I know, but you know that Spark's goal can't be allowed to be achieved. This world doesn't need a complete and perfect order to everything, it needs love. It needs the ponies who will bear the elements, I said. It needs for you to find them so that they can heal the wasteland. And what about you?
Loyalty asked. My eyes widened.
Are you not one of the ponies who will heal the wasteland? I don't think I am, honestly, I said. In all my travels, all I've ever done is make bad things happen. Sure, there's been some good here and there, but I haven't done anything important. All I'm doing is clearing up my mess. I don't deserve the mantle of Element Bearer. Are you sure?
Loyalty said.
You have done much good for the Wasteland, Radiant Star. I don't think you see it, but you are a loyal friend, loyal to a great degree.
I shuffled my hoofs, looking down at the ground.
I'm not loyal, I said. I've let my friends down plenty of times. I didn't save Steeljack when I could have. I lied to my mare friend about my memory orb problem. I nearly got my friend Patch's unborn foals killed due to radiation. And yet, through every time, you're always there for them, trying to help, to make up for your failings,
the Cyan Mare said.
If that's not loyal, I don't know what is. I guess, I said softly. You know, I'm supposed to be lecturing you. Funny how that turns out,
Loyalty replied.
I will help you, Radiant Star, to make up for my failings as best as I'm able to.
I nodded.
I know this sounds like a funny question, but what did you ever know about Twilight Sparkle?
I said. Loyalty's gaze narrowed at me.
Enough to know that she is not blameless either,
the Cyan Mare said harshly.
Rainbow was a very close friend of the Purple Alicorn, of course. She's as much to blame for the state of the world as was Rainbow. At least Rainbow wanted to save Equestria. And Twilight didn't?
I asked.
You've seen the legacy she left behind first, Hoof?
Loyalty said.
The goddess, IMP. Her work was the stuff of monsters and destruction, not peace. Do you know what Rainbow Dash originally wanted the single Pegasus project to originally be?
I shook my head.
She wanted to use it as a way to save the world. It was Luna and Twilight and the others. They wanted to use it to wage war. Rainbow had to fight to build it the way she wanted to.
What would have changing the weather have done to save Equestria?
I said aloud. Loyalty grinned.
You've already seen the fruits of that labor, even though you don't know it, she said. Sunshine and Rainbows, the one you call the Destroyer. The SPP brought sunshine back to a world that desperately needed it. And you saw all of this?
I said. Loyalty nodded.
We had to watch. We were always watching. The world had changed so much, she said. But we stood vigilant, hoping. Hoping that ponies would remember our virtues. And they have, I said.
You said so yourself. There's a pony out there who exemplifies the virtue of loyalty. If Spark has her way...
I know,
Loyalty said.
I fear, however, our time is up, Radiant Star. You must destroy the gem on my mortal form. She will not have my spiritual support, but I warn you, she is a lot stronger than you give her credit for. You will not be able to trick her so easily again.
I grimaced but nodded.
Thank you, I said.
Loyalty smiled as the misty world faded to darkness once more.
My eyes shot open and I began to move, ignoring my immediate surroundings and situation for flight.
A bolt of lightning hit the ground where I had been, scorching the earth. I growled. Obsession was so fast she was already out of the memory spell, in the air and mobile. They had both been healed up already and she was flinging another bolt my way.
What did you do to me?
The Cyan Elecon roared, her eyes blazing furiously with magical fire. I jumped out of the way, taking to the sky to avoid her lightning. I flared my horn, snatching Stargazer to the ready as I turned around and fired, barely missing the mare. Obsession was screaming through the skies at me. I took a brief moment to get a handle on my surroundings while I flew. The mountain range the others had been holed up on was still quite close. We hadn't managed to make it far before the idea of race turned into a dogfight. I had to end this quickly and destroy that gem. Loyalty had warned me that her golem wouldn't make it easy for me. I had to do this the old-fashioned way.
Come on and get me if you want to find out,
I teased, pulling up into the air with a smirk on my face. Obsession snarled and shot after me, following close behind. Black storm clouds filled the air around me. Lightning bolts scattered at me from every angle, forcing me to fly erratically to try and dodge them. There was no doubt about it. Obsession was pissed. I ached all over, the side effect of the memory spell combined with hitting the ground, but I was doing my best to not focus on that while I flew. I was already thankful enough that I hadn't died and that the shield from the memory spell had protected us.
Get back here!
Obsession shouted, her wings beating as hard as they possibly could. I realized quickly that without the spirit's influence, the golem itself was physically weaker, just like Deceit had been. That meant that I had the advantage. I pressed forward, pulling up higher and higher, the atmosphere growing thinner by the moment.
Do these things breathe?
I thought. I was about to find out. The higher I went, the harder it became to keep my wings flapping. It was getting cold. Obsession was closing in. I had to keep going. The cyan mare latched onto my tail with her teeth, intent on dragging me back down towards the earth. I grunted in pain at the force at which she pulled. I was going to certainly be missing more than a few tail hairs when all was said and done. I kept flapping my wings, the beating interspersing with Obsession's own wing flaps. She was getting winded too. I was getting the best of her. I just needed to keep going. My eyes became blurry as I gasped at the thinness, feeling faint from the lack of air. I knew this was crazy, but it was the only way I could think of to incapacitate her. Finally, I felt her unlock from my tail, her form falling out of the sky towards the ground. I gave one final agonizing flap and snapped my wings to my sides, dropping down after her. The world snapped back into focus as the sweet, sweet air filled my lungs. I sped downwards, hoping to catch Obsession before she hit the ground. As I neared her, I noticed something very wrong.
Gotcha!
The Cyan Elecon said, her eyes flashing open and her wings snapping open. She lashed out with a hoof, hitting me directly in the barrel. I yelped from the pain as the bitch knocked me through the air like I was a ragdoll. It had been a trick. She turned it around on me and used my own tactic against me. Her rose-colored eyes narrowed as I ripped out Stargazer, my improved weapon blazing out a torrent of blue light that she deftly avoided.
Fancy gun you got there, Ministry Mare. Did you think that such an obvious trick would stop me? I'll give you a hint. I don't actually breathe air like you do. All you were doing was making yourself weak. Figured it was worth a shot, I snarled back, spreading my wings to slow myself to a hover.
Obsession sat there in the air in front of me. A bemused smirk crept along her face.
We still haven't finished our race, Obsession. Remember, I win. You tell me all about Spark. I thought you were more sportsman than that.
You're right about that, she replied. I did promise you a race, but I lied, didn't I? You've fallen for every single one of my traps, and the others thought I couldn't take you on by myself, ha!
Wait, what?
I said.
What about the others?
Obsession snarled loudly, baring her teeth at me.
Enough of them, they're not important, I'm the tough one. The toughest of them all,
she roared.
I'm done with playing nicely, Radiant Star. You will submit or we'll beat you to a pulp so bloody your horn and wings won't even identify you.
Fuck you,
I said, lifting Stargazer.
You aren't going to stop me from getting to Spark.
Before she could respond, I dropped into ESATS, queuing up as many shots as I could on the blue mare. Time fell back into place and Stargazer exploded with blue light, sending streams of magical energy streaking into the other Elecorn. Her horn glowed as she clapped her own wings together, a shield forming around her. Stargazer's blasts turned the shield into glittering fragments as they shattered it and sunk home in the golem's chest. She snarled as the gem in her chest began to flicker. And then it stopped. I cocked my head in confusion. Then I realized what I was staring at. The form in front of me shimmered slightly.
Shit!
I thought as I was hit from behind, forcing me to drop Stargazer from my magic. Obsession landed on me hard and I felt something crack as pain shot through my entire body. I went plummeting down, two cyan hoofs wrapped around my barrel. I howled as I tried to struggle out of Obsession's grip.
I'm faster than your pathetic little toy ministry mare, she called out through the whipping wind. Now let's see how well you survive hitting the ground at high speeds.
Shit, 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 shit!
My mind frantically tried to piece together how to break free. Obsession was putting not just her weight into me, but using her wings to buzz us along faster. We were flying towards the ground at insane speeds. Teleportation was not an option. I couldn't cast it fast enough. An idea formed in my mind and I gritted my teeth through the pain. Flaring my horn, I cast my spell. And suddenly, as fast as I was going down, I started pushing up into the air on Obsession. My weight held us there and slowed our descent to a point where neither of us moved. Obsession's face screwed up in extreme confusion as she tried to figure out what I'd done.
Gravity spell! Turns out I was prepared for this!
I proclaimed, grinning widely. I winced as Obsession's horn flared to life. I reached up with my forehoof and punched her in the face, slamming into her horn and causing her spell to flicker out. Blood streamed from where my hoof had struck her. Obsession's wings stopped buzzing, causing us to float upwards from my own weight. I glanced through the air for Stargazer, sighing. It was nowhere to be seen. I could only hope it hadn't fallen into a pond somewhere. Obsession draped limply over me, only impeding my speedy ascent by her weight. She sputtered, trying to move to get a better grip on me.
But I'm the fastest, I'm the toughest,
she stammered out through the blood running down her face. I struck her again, this time in the chest. The gem in the center began to flicker and shine. I blinked as it started pulsing brightly.
It didn't do that with deceit, did it?
I thought. I tried to pull away from the dying mare golem, the gem pulsing faster and faster as I finally slipped off. The gem exploded, jolting me with intense force as I shot up into the sky thanks to the gravity spell. I groaned, my entire body feeling ridiculously amounts of pain. Violet was going to be pissed at me for this if I survived. I felt the spell drop, my horn flickering out as I lost consciousness. The last thing I remembered was the ground rushing up towards me. I was somewhere else, somewhere completely not in the Everfree Forest. I was staring at the vats that had burst me. That wasn't possible. Mary Pony had been destroyed. How were these things even here? Standing above them was her, Spark. I had been captured after I defeated Obsession? No, that couldn't be right. My friends would have saved me. I was alone, meaning that this must have been some sort of stupid dream. I'd much rather have been in the library. Twilight, at least, wasn't likely to try and kill me. I stood, watching carefully as Spark turned to regard me.
You're starting to become a real pain in my flank, you know that, right?
She said angrily.
First deceit, now obsession? Fucking Celestia Star, you're a real bitch.
Spark!
I spat, ignoring her comment.
It's been too long.
Not long enough, Star,
Spark said. She motioned to the vats.
Looks familiar, doesn't it?
Where are we?
I said, glaring at her.
Where are my friends?
Spark coughed.
Well, for starters, you're not anywhere physically. This is a mental connection, she said. As for your friends, I would assume they'd be with you.
So this was just some sort of lucid fever dream. I blinked. Spark rolled her eyes.
Lucky says hi, by the way.
She's... what?
I said, blinking again. Spark groaned.
Yes, she's still in there. Persistent, really. She's happy to see you,
she said.
I, however, am not. You and I have still unfinished business and things will go far easier if you just give up.
Forget it,
I said, growling under my breath.
I won't give in to you.
Spark's gaze narrowed at me.
All right, your vain little quest to save me, she said.
She lifted into the air, flapping her wings.
Look upon this radiant star. This is the center of a new world in the making. These vets were brought here by a pony named Red Eye. After his defeat, the vets sat there in disarray until I arrived.
My eyes widened.
You want to make more alicorns, like the goddess?
I said. Spark chuckled.
Making every pony into an alicorn? No. The goddess had it all wrong. Alicorns are troublesome. A subservient slave race of all pony kind, however.
Spark replied.
The AMP is for the others. I've nearly got all the components in place to bring them into the physical world and give them bodies of their own. All I need is one thing.
The power source,
I said.
You need the power source that Twilight used to seal you.
Spark grinned widely.
Of course. Once I have that, I will cast the resurrection spell on a grand scale, granting life to the elements. Then all of ponykind will fall before us and we will rule.
Spark said.
Think about it, Radiant Star. No more war, no more hate. Harmony. Pure and simple harmony.
That's not harmony, Spark. That's unity,
I argued.
And you won't succeed. I'll stop you.
Spark lowered back down to my level, rolling her eyes again.
Please. You're going to stop me?
She said.
I hate to tell you, Star, but you're being led in the wrong direction by that Sparkle bitch.
I blinked.
What's that mean?
I said.
You really believe Sparkle has your best interests at heart? Even you had to notice how quickly she betrayed me.
Spark replied.
I've seen every corner and crevice of your mind, Radiant Star. I know things that you don't.
Mind telling me, then? Save me some trouble.
I said flatly. I was getting rather pissed at the fact that there were so many who knew more than I did that thought it was fun to keep secrets from me. Discord, Spark, Twilight even. I pondered what Spark said. I'd been feeling for some time that there was something Twilight wasn't telling me, but I'd figured it hadn't been that big of a deal.
No can do, Spark. In order for my plan to work, the Sparkle bitch needs to go for good. Telling you anything would jeopardize that plan greatly,
Spark said.
Now, this is all the time this mental connection has for us. I will be seeing you, Radiant Star. Bring me the power source, and you will be able to fulfill your destiny.
My eyes opened slowly, a dull ache settling in as I tried to adjust to my surroundings. It was dark. The only illumination was from a campfire nearby, but I couldn't make out what else there was, thanks to how blurry my vision was.
Where?
I thought as my mind focused on what had happened. Had I hit the ground? Was I dead? Could I even move? Fortunately enough, the answer to that question happened to be yes. My hoof lifted in front of my face. I looked down my sides to see bandages all over my back and rear legs. My wings had also been bundled up. I groaned.
She's awake,
I heard Violet's voice call through the haze as she appeared next to me.
Star, can you hear me? I'm not dead,
I asked. Violet smiled sweetly, giving me a nuzzle.
No, sweetie, you're not dead. You're very much alive, she said. In terrible condition, but you're alive. You're lucky we had the medical supplies.
I nodded, lowering my gaze to the ground. My eyes began to finally adjust, noting that we were on the mountain clearing that Steeljack was buried on. I tried to shuffle up to a sitting position, but it was futile.
War there? You shouldn't be moving around. You took quite a beating there. Everyone else?
I asked.
Lilith?
Violet nodded.
They're okay. They're here,
she said, motioning up to where the campfire was. Everyone else was gathered there. Lilith sat next to where Patch was laying, a makeshift blanket covering the pregnant mare who was appearing to be sleeping. Sunshine sat on the other side, next to Nixies and Avira. I sighed as I found myself looking for Steeljack, checking all the places he would normally be. I heaved a sigh, letting the mixed sadness and relief whoosh out of me.
I heard,
I said, grunting.
Like, a lot.
I'd expect so, Violet said.
You fell pretty hard. You were pretty damn lucky that Lilith managed to slow your fall. Obsession?
I asked. Violet narrowed her eyes.
Gone, she said. Disappeared.
I grimaced, nodding.
Good,
I replied, wincing.
Looks like we're stuck here for another night, if I'm not up.
Violet nodded, lighting her horn and letting her magic roll over me. I felt soothed, smiling softly under her ministrations. My mind went to what I had just experienced. Spark. Her words had cut through me hard. What did she mean about Twilight? Was Twilight lying to me? Was there something else that I didn't know that was important? I made a mental note to approach Twilight more judiciously the next time I spoke to her. Violet eventually finished up, leaving me to rest. I spent a majority of my time listening to the others, staying relatively quiet. Violet was discussing the state of our medical supplies with Avira and Nixie, laying out all the supplies we had left. As it turned out, we were still in dire need. Avira mentioned that a cart had been left down the mountain path that they had used to get there. Inside of it was some additional supplies. It now sat near the camp, having made it through the excitement relatively intact. Patch had slept through the most of the time. I didn't blame her. She'd been through a lot in the past day or so. I wanted terribly to go to her and just hug her, but I couldn't bring myself to wake her. I finally managed to be able to stand, much to the protests of my mare friend. I shook a hoof, claiming that I was all right. I needed some alone time. I walked carefully across a clearing to where Steeljack's grave was. I sat down in front of the stone, sighing loudly.
I wish you had been here, I said softly to no pony in particular.
Somewhere, I like to wish that Steeljack was listening to me.
It feels like you're already slipping away from us. It's not a good feeling,
I groaned.
I don't know what to do, Steeljack. Spark, Twilight, neither of them are telling me the whole truth. The strange thing is, I fear what Twilight's secret is more than I fear Spark's perfect world.
Of course, no pony responded. I really missed Steeljack. I sighed.
It sucks, I said, my ears drooping. I want to save Spark, but it doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to if she doesn't want to be saved. Everything seems to be pushing me towards sealing Spark.
I lowered my head.
I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not strong enough, Steeljack. I just don't think...
I sighed.
I don't think I can do it. I'm just not strong enough.
You are stronger than you believe,
a voice said in the calm darkness. I blinked as Nixies quietly lopped along the clearing and made his way to my side.
Nixies, I said softly. How long were you there?
Long enough, he replied calmly. You are wrong. You are stronger than you even know. You can't save this Spark if you only try.
I looked away.
Discord prophesied that I would bring about a great storm of chaos into the world. I've never really been able to piece together what he truly meant, I said. What if this is it, Nixies? What if I make the wrong decision? What if saving Spark is the wrong decision?
One cannot truly know what's the right or wrong choice at Star. That is part of living. We all make choices, good or bad.
The Hellhound replied.
It is how we approach those choices that make us who and what we are.
I nodded, soaking in his words like a sponge. Could I be strong enough to face Spark and finally decide how to handle her? I had to. No pony else was going to sweep in and save the day for me. There would be no Steeljack stepping in to hold off a dragon so that the mare he loved could live. I would have to make the hard choice. The choice to put myself into the dragon's maw and hopefully come out alive.
Nixies, I said.
The Hellhound raised an eyebrow.
Yes,
he asked.
I miss him, I said bluntly. I keep seeing it over and over and I know it wasn't truly my fault, but I still feel like it was.
You will always miss him, Star, as will I and the others. That is how he will live on. His spirit is carried in our hearts, his resolve giving us the strength to carry forward.
Nixie said softly.
But the living must not go on mourning the dead. They must celebrate life. I know that from somewhere, Steeljack is watching over us.
I looked over at him and back to the gravestone. Yes, somewhere, beyond the veil, Steeljack's life and death would inspire and strengthen us. I knew deep down that Nixie was right. That I had to cease mourning and start living. Steeljack wouldn't want us to wallow in his death. He would want us to complete the mission, to keep moving forward.
In fact, I dared to think that he would probably slap me silly for thinking the way I had been. That drew a smile to my face.
Thank you, Nixies. I believe I'm feeling a little better about...
I started to say before the sound of shouting caught my ears. I turned to see Violet across the clearing, her eyes fierce with determination.
Star, Nixies, I need you!
She shouted. I stood and galloped painfully to where she stood.
What is it? What's wrong?
I said. Violet grimaced.
It's Patch, she's...
Violet trailed off. My eyes widened. No, no, no. She couldn't be. She just couldn't be. I had to see for myself. I pushed past Violet before she could finish, coming into the camp proper where Lilith was cradling Patch's head. I realized very quickly that not only was Patch not dead, but she was groaning loudly and panting hard.
Star,
Violet said as she caught up to me.
You didn't let me finish. What's happening? Why is she making those noises? What's wrong with her?
I panickedly exclaimed. Violet stopped me with a wave of her hoof.
Star, Patch is fouling,
she said with utter seriousness. My eyes widened even further. My panic kicked into overdrive.
She's failing? What's failing? I don't understand. Tell me what's wrong with her,
I said, shaking Violet. My mare friend withdrew, groaning.
Star, it means she's having her babies,
she said forcefully.
Oh.
Oh!
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Violet Iris, maximum level reached. Patch, maximum level reached. Lilith, maximum level reached.